Steve Kirby and all that jazz. Steve Kirby is the editor of a magazine called Dig, Winnipeg's monthly jazz magazine. He's a jazz musician himself. And Steve, born and bred in Winnipeg, right?
No.
Wrong.
I wish.
Not so lucky.
Yeah, why do you wish?
Because Winnipeg is wide open. It, you know, it's prairie, but also poetically, I guess, the mindset here is wide open, just like the prairie. And anything is possible if you put your mind to it.
Musically, anything is possible here?
Musically or otherwise. I've seen that if you have a good enough idea, you can get people motivated, and they'll jump in and it'll fly. It's a lot of things are flying here. Good thing.
Well, I'm going to use your own words here, actually, from the magazine, where you say, in the beginning, my biggest attraction to life in Winnipeg was the young people.
Right.
And a very touching editorial you've written here. Just tell me, let's start with that. Tell me about your experience with the young people, music, and young people in Winnipeg.
Well, when I first got here, you know, I saw that there were all these, it seemed like hundreds of high schools, but maybe it wasn't, but it seemed like hundreds of high schools everywhere, full, you know, each one with two or three jazz ensembles, you know, and a coach, and they were extremely enthusiastic about learning jazz improvisation and really wanting to get into the music. But not only that, the most unjaded approach toward learning. When I first came here, I was put in with an orchestra, and I was supposed to get them to play some music, and it was music that they had played a year ago, and it was on Friday night, and Friday after school, and they could have been just really grumpy toward me. And whatever idea I had, they just wanted to flesh that idea out to the farthest degree. Even the smallest things I thought about, the biggest things, whatever it was, they were just jumping in there like troopers. And I thought, well, what place is this? I just came from New York where I was teaching mostly. And there, you know, you all but get into a fist fight just to get a guy to move to another chair, you know. So, you know, I just thought this was amazing. And then talent after talent, all these talented kids. But once you got past the high school level, there was no place for them to go. So they either gave up the music or they left town. And so, you know, the main reason that I was brought here was to give them an option to stay in the city. And so I think so far we're doing pretty good with that.
And you were working with some pretty high at-risk kids.
Yeah. Well, in New York I was. When I first got here, I wasn't. But then, ultimately, as I got into the city, I started moving toward the inner city. And over the summer, I had an opportunity. Over this last summer, I had an opportunity to go into Dufferin School District and different school districts that are right at the core of the city. And a lot of those kids, you know, are from, you know, they have fetal alcohol syndrome, or they're you know, their parents are First Nation, and the First Nation people have been pretty much disenfranchised, you know. I'm trying to find the nicest euphemism I can possibly find. But and the kids just absolutely didn't even have a sense of themselves. And that was hard for me because, you know, I'm from a at-risk group in St. Louis. And those kids were poor, and they had very, we were all poor, and we had very little to go on, and we were sort of outcasts in society. But we knew who we were, you know. These kids didn't even know who they were. They were just spirits. And that was hard. That was tough.
And so why jazz? Why is jazz such a great medium for people who don't have a sense of self?
Because the study of jazz is the study of spontaneous composition. But breaking it down easier, jazz was created by throwing all these cultures of music, all these cultures in the world together in a place and experimenting with democracy. Now, even though that it was an experiment with democracy, there was still a lot of racism and a lot of, you know, cultural disenfranchisement. But because there were all these different cultures and all these different types of music brought together. And the European school of composition and song form and melody was mixed in with the African rhythm language, and that was mixed in with different folk languages from Jewish populations, from South America, from Africa, from different places. And what ended up happening is a common language was created, and it was a way that people who were disenfranchised could express themselves in such a way that everybody in the world knew exactly what they meant. For example, when jazz started hitting the world, Louis Armstrong got into the world. When he first put his records out in the 20s, and those records were going around the world, little old ladies in Romania thought that he was one of them. Little old ladies in Ireland thought he was one of them. It's so universal, so archetypical was that language, that everybody thought that the person that was playing that horn was one of them. Little did they know he was somebody else, you know. And the art of spontaneous composition, called jazz, is the art of learning to speak that way. So neighborhoods get a chance to really get to know each other through the music.
And how appropriate, because Winnipeg was the really first truly multicultural city in Canada. And so jazz, perfect language for this city. Now, can you just give me an overview of Winnipeg as a jazz city?
Well, okay, this is amazing, because, you know, we're right out in the middle of nowhere. And you think, when people told me when I was coming here that there was nothing here, but we have one of the only jazz-funded professional jazz orchestras in North America. There's Jazz at Lincoln Center. I think there's the Arts Collective in San Francisco, and then us. And I think they might have one in Vancouver called Veggie, something like that. And that's about it in North America. So, you know, we have that. We have a jazz festival organization called Jazz Winnipeg. And they're huge, and they're all over the place. We're building a jazz program here. We have a place that's been having jazz every night, every Tuesday night for 18 years. It's called the Franco-Manitoban Cultural Center. We have the Cool Monday Night Hang, which is something that me and my wife started, and that's been happening every single Monday night for the last 2.5 years. And generally, a bad night is 200 people, so it's pretty amazing.
So are we talking a jazz capital here?
Absolutely. When you say capital, what do you think? Is it the most people? No. Is it the most important people? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's we have some of the most important minds in jazz in Canada, right here in
the city of Winnipeg.
In the city of Winnipeg, we have Ron Paley here. We have Dr. Richard Gillis. And quite a few others. I can go down this whole list. But what's the end result? The end result is that we have the Aspera Jazz series that's been going on now for a little over a year. Every time that thing happens, before the brochures hit the streets to sell tickets, the tickets sell out, okay? And we're bringing in Kenny Barron, Cedar Walton, Joe Lovano, a whole big wide variety of jazz artists. And every time any of this, the series becomes available, it sells out, you know? So what are we saying? We're saying that that the people that love the music are here, and the people that love promoting the music are here, and the people that love learning the music are here, and the people that love teaching the music are dying to come here. Every summer we have a summer jazz camp. We bring in 4 jazz artists. For every 1 jazz artist you see up there, 20 of them have called and say, "Hey, I want to teach them that thing." So, you know, yesterday, as a matter of fact, I had 2 inquiries from Kenny Garrett.
From where?
Kenny Garrett. I mean, he's like one of the greatest jazz saxophonists in history. And called me up and was just curious about what's going on here.
I mean, good. That's and I got news for you, too, that in the travel industry, we know the travel industry is becoming more and more diversified. One of the biggest areas of travel now is jazz travel.
Wow.
People will travel anywhere to hear jazz.
Really?
and they will travel just for the jazz. So
they got to come here.
Okay, so they got to come here, right?
You got to come here. You got to come here because there's all kinds of great things happening here in jazz. Number one, coming up real soon, Jeremy Pelt, which is like the latest infant, you know, terrible on trumpet, is coming here with his drummer, and he's going to play with some people here, and that's going to be an ASPRA event. There's a whole slew of events happening that Michelle Gregoire is bringing for, you know, Canadian jazz. Ron Paley has done a jazz treatment of Cinderella that he's doing with the symphony orchestra that's here. As a matter of fact, the symphony orchestra now has a conductor that loves jazz, and he's going to be, you know, doing some jazz things too, which is amazing, you know. And after that, we're going to have like the Lincoln Center All-Stars are going to be coming here really soon. We've got a trumpeter from Israel, and his name is Avishai Cohen. And he's a monster trumpet player. He's like one of the most innovative trumpet players out there. And he's coming here, and he's just going to hang out for like 4 days, you know.
And what are you going to do, Steve?
I'm going to play, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to read about it. I'm going to teach about it. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to be completely immersed in it. And I hope everybody can enjoy it like me.
Right here in Winnipeg.
Right here in Winnipeg, right in the jazz capital of Canada.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.